excuse me, Luke chapter 1. If you are here this morning, and young folks, junior age, elementary, you can kind of head to the back. Joji, they've made a break for it. So, kid, get back there and lock the door. Juju would kick it down. So many things. I hope you will stay tuned. Like I said, emails, text messages, the phone calls, we'll try and keep you up to date. We will have the time of prayer at the end for Ms. Doris Offord. Families asked us to pray. We want to do that in as well. And so glad, so thankful. So thank you. You ever feel like I do right now? It's like 100 things you want to say, but probably not everybody's as interested. And maybe if you say 100 things, we won't remember all 100. Maybe I just ought to say one or two things. You ever do that? You ever feel just really full in your heart and your soul? That's kind of where I'm at this morning. Luke 1, verse 5. Stand with us. We'll read a few of these verses together, then we'll sit back down. Luke 1, 5, we pay honor to God and His Word. Again, if you are here as our guest, you can download the app, HardinValleyChurch.com/app. And follow along, and as you came in, maybe you got one of the handouts, and you can take some good notes and all today. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. Those of you that grew up in and around church, you catch immediately, we're using that language that's given us a date and time about the birth of Christ. We're give or take 3, 4, 5 B.C. We've set it at 0 B.C., the birth of Christ, but we know because of who was alive and all, it's probably just a hair before. Again, dating is not infallible. That's a man-made thing. So we're about this time period here. A certain priest named Zacharias, over the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. These are unbelievably Jewish people. They can point back to who they are, and through all the captivity and everything, they've kept all that up. Verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. You put whatever you want on your tombstone, that's not a bad thing to be said of you. They did what God said, and nobody, no matter what they threw at him, it wouldn't stick. It's that word, that idea, Teflon. They were blameless. You could say whatever you wanted, but their heart was right before God, and other folks agreed. Verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They were both now well stricken in years. They were past the point where it was normal to have children. This was known about them. This was a sadness in their life. Verse 8, came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple order. We'll talk about that in a moment. A whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense, and there appeared in him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great. He shall, excuse me, I skipped verse 14. And thou shalt joy and gladness, many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine, strong drink, be filled with the Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel will be turned to the Lord, and he shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers of children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow! Verse 18. And Zacharias said to him, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years, getting ready for Christmas, preparing for the miraculous. And we'll look at the rest of the text in a moment. Would you bow with me from front to back and left to right, Lord? Would you help us this morning? Would you help us? Help us to celebrate what is important, and more than that, who is important? And would you begin to turn up the hard soil of our hearts? Would you begin to help us understand and apply the Scriptures? Spirit of God, use me and fill me, direct my thoughts. Help me, Lord, as I'm thinking about so many things. May I just focus like a laser on the text. May we honor you. May you be glorified. I pray you'd speak to hearts. Lord, as I preach on the outside, I pray you'd preach on the inside. And Lord, I ask that you do that right now. Spirit of God, use me and fill me. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I like doing a little survey. Maybe I start off with a survey here this morning. Anybody besides me, I said the word sucker the other day and somebody upbraided me. I am the target audience for these reunion videos. When somebody's been deployed overseas, perhaps, and they sneak back in and they surprise their family. Maybe they show up at the school or they show up at their spouse's work. Anybody over here, you like those videos? You know what I'm talking about? Man, they show up, you know, and you're there. Anybody in here have a heart and feeling? All right, like four of you, all right? Anybody? Just a few of you over here? Jamie's like, nope. And anybody back here? A few of you? Lois says, I've made some of those videos. And so we're here. And this was way before I knew that it was algorithms. Anybody besides me figured out that once the socials and Google and everybody figures out when you like something, it just keeps feeding you something? So this is before I'm like, man, it's neat. I keep finding these things. I wouldn't find anything. It was showing them to me because I'd watched the whole thing or whatever. But I've seen that there's one. They got the Harlem Globetrotters involved to pull this thing off. And all of you who are Googling right now, stop. Just write it down. Look at it later. And they got these involved. And the local news will be involved. Every now and then, you know, they'll get a whole crowd of people. They'll get like a high school or a middle school. And I don't know how you keep a secret that long. You know, and then there's a box, you know, and then the soldier, the sailor, the airman pops out of the box and everybody cries. And I'm going, man, I got something in my eye. And I'm there. I mean, I love those reunion videos. I love those kind of things. And they kind of get me because somebody and something you're longing for has finally occurred. I can almost do you one better. If you're of a certain age, the coffee companies had perfected this at this time of the year. They would have Junior or Sissy drive through the night to arrive at a freshly snowed-in home and open the door and start the coffee brewing for an unsuspecting set of parents to come down the stairs and find their young person who'd been away at school making the coffee. And it would end. They wouldn't say a word about anything, but you're like, man, I'm going to go buy me some of that coffee so I can get that feeling. And there. And, you know, those of you who are a little bit younger with tracking devices, there would be just no way to sneak up on parents anymore, I suppose, with all the helicoptering going on. But back then, you could do things like that. And so we're here. We like that. Can you get in your mind what it is that Zacharias and Elizabeth are going through? They are faithful servants of the Lord. They are absolutely committed to Him, but they've got an emptiness in their life. They've got something that's not there. And again, you can plug in any blank you want there. And they don't understand that God's about to change everything in their life. Not only that, God's about to change everything in humanity's life. The child that they're going to be given will be the forerunner of Christ. The child that they're about to be given will change things. And you're going to see, we're going to get to look through there. And so I wonder today, you might have got real excited about a good sale at Best Buy. Or you might have gotten to find a coupon that you could stack when you were buying something. You might have been like we were at our house. Allison found a butter turkey. Not a turkey with butter on it, but a butter substance in the shape of a turkey. And the honor of that decapitation went to one of the children this year. And so so we know it's going to be a good Thanksgiving if we can find a turkey in the mold, butter in the mold of a turkey. And if you don't know what that is, you just haven't lived. And so we're here. I'm being silly here. But expectation, if you get all jazzed, so I want to walk you through this. I want to help you. I want to help you not only get excited for something good, but I maybe prepare for the miraculous. Disney for years tried to capture magic. I'm not talking about sentimentality. I'm talking about God changing your life. God changing your life. That expectation that what God's about to do is awesome and amazing and prepare Him room. Christmas is not just about staying on budgets. Christmas should not just be about parades and lights. And I don't like all those kinds. It shouldn't just be about family and friends. I mentioned to you, a YouGov did a survey. Scientific sample survey, 86% of folks in Great Britain said there was nothing really religious about Christmas. 30% of them would attend carol services and Christmas Eve services just because it was part of the culture, not because they thought it had anything to do with the Bible. They were open. 1 in 10 don't celebrate at all. As we continue to chase Europe, you're going to see that more and more folks have absolutely no connection. So how can I not miss? How can I prepare? Get ready for Christmas. How can I prepare for the miraculous. And I want to help you. I want to help you. If you're taking a note or two this morning, I want you to catch something that Gabriel says to Zechariah. He gives him six specific promises that are here. And I want to explore those. And I've just got a few ideas that I want to help you with. So he says, number one, he says, your prayers are going to be answered. God is listening. You want to get ready for God to do something amazing in your heart and life? Understand God is listening. God cares. If you belong to him, God is listening to you. He may not give you the answer you want, but he is listening to you. And it's great sometimes when my desires and his desires align up. Understand, prayer is to be changing me, not to be changing God. Prayer is to align me with God. And Gabriel comes down and he says, hey, your prayer is going to be answered. He says, that, hey, by the name. By the way, God is going to be gracious to you. God is going to be gracious to you. Some of you like to walk around. When somebody says, how are you doing? You like to answer, better than I deserve. You know, that's not just something Dave Ramsey marketed. That should be true with every person who's ever been born again by the Spirit of God. Man, I am much better than I deserve. God's been so good to me. Man, I'm thrilled. He says, you're going to call his name John. John means the grace of God. God is going to be gracious to you. If somebody has to prod you and poke you to get you to be thankful, man, you're not thinking real hard. Man, God has been good to you. If he's given you life to this morning, he's been good to you. He says, your people are going to know joy and gladness. These Jews, man, been under the heavy thumb of the Romans, man, they're going to know joy and gladness. What John's going to bring, and then Jesus who is coming, man, they will know joy and gladness. Your child's going to be great. Your child's going to be great. Years and years, comedians made fun, you know. Guy, dad takes the kid to football practice, takes him here, pays for all these things, does all this stuff. He makes it big on TV, waves to the camera. What's he say? Hi, Mom. And he says, we kind of miss that. We kind of miss that sometimes. He says, your child's going to be great. Man, it's going to do great things for God. He says, number five, Israel's going to see a national revival. They're going to see a national revival. We mentioned this last week. I'll say it again. The only way we're ever going to see a revival, number one, is where we decide to not live without it. Number two, if we're going to see revival in our midst, it's going to be when we start evangelizing. We start looking at people as enemies. We start looking at people as opportunities. Man, the way they think and the way they act is because they don't know Jesus. And we need to give them the gospel. He says, number six, your child's going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. He is going to declare the way of the Lord. How many of you, if you had an angel visit you, if you had an angel visit you and you got these six things that you had no idea were maybe even possible, how many of you think, that'd be a pretty good day? I'd be like, I can go home now. I can go sit in the Lazy Boy. I can watch the news now. How many of you think that would be enough of a blessing? An angel come and do that. Anybody? Some of you are like, well, what's next? You people. I've eaten with quite a few people in the room. And one thing I catch myself doing, we'll be somewhere eating, and then all of a sudden I'll start talking about another meal I've had. Anybody ever do that? Like a first world problem. Yeah, this is pretty good, but over here they got one of these things, right? Or this is better than it was last time. We're like the only people in the world have somebody cook for us, bring it out. It's at an affordable price, and we'll talk about some other food, right? Talk about some other food. He's going to do this. You're going to watch his response in just a moment. Truth of the matter is, he's got all that, and he's going to doubt. He's going to say, hey, you know, if you give me a sign, give me more, and I would believe. He wasn't ready for the miraculous. Let's do a little differently than he did. Let's live a little differently. So if you want to get ready, now just for fun, how many of you love to see God do something amazing in your life? How many of you need God to do something amazing in your life? So check this out. Check this out. Watch these four things here. Number one, how are you going to prepare for the miraculous? Here you go. Number one, live faithfully for God. Live faithfully for God. Look at verse 6. Go back to verse 6 if you would. They were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments of the Lord, blameless. They weren't seeing God do anything, but they were living faithful, godly lives. Christianity is not lived out in the epics. It's not lived out in the wild moments so many times. It's in the day-to-day-to-day. How many of you figured out you can't celebrate 20th anniversary and a 30th anniversary, man, if you're not taking care of things day by day? How many times we like, man, I need to get to church. I need to church so I can feel better. And we start to judge these things. You can't live that way. Our friend Josh Tice, he said the other day, I quote him, he said, if I was to ask you, would you want to go 7 days without food? Wouldn't get many takers. If I ask you, you want to go 14 days without food? No takers, probably. 21 days without food, absolutely everyone in the room would think I'm crazy. But we can go weeks and weeks at a time and never consider the Lord Jesus and never consider the will of the Spirit, role of the Spirit in our life. We can go long periods of time and not pray, not talk to God, not read His Word. To live faithfully is to set the table for God to do something unexpected in your lives. Israel was in the midst of 400 silent years, no prophecy, no recognized prophet in one sense. No recorded angelic announcements, no significant miracles, but they're still serving God. By the way, so many times when you don't think anything's working, anything's going on, you turn around and you look back and you go, man, what was God doing? Look at what God was doing in my life. Look what God's doing in my life. You come to service after service and you start getting in the Word, and all of a sudden you notice the changes that are in your life, and God is preparing. God is preparing when nobody is watching, when there is no fanfare. What do? We live for God. They worshiped. Zacharias was faithful to his priesthood. He'd been chosen, ordained. He was faithful. He was steadfast. He was doing all these kind of things. And by the way, that is so unlike our generation and our age now. Have you noticed that? Can't hire anybody, can't keep anybody, can't no matter what the pay is, you can't do anything, you can't count on folks. I'll leave their name out, but there's a fellow in the room. He's like, we have to tell our family members 2 hours early to try and get them there on time for a meal. That's not how that should be. Nod your head if you're with me here. By the way, if you're feeding me for free, I'm there early. And man, I'm on it. We can't do this. To be faithful, to be dependable, to count on. I've tried to use the expression. I'm trying to describe some things, you know. So sometimes, you know, some of the simplest things that have just really been, George, it's just low character. We've not asked much. And boy, we've gotten it. Can't count on people. Can't count on things. They were faithful. Let me help you here. If you're faithful vertically, you'll have a lot better time being faithful horizontally. If you're faithful to Christ, if you're walking with Him, and they were doing this, they were in the daily worship, they were burning, they were doing all these kind of things. Incense was burned on the altar by a priest in the morning and then in the evening. It symbolized that the sacrifice was being offered to God in the sweetest, most prayerful of spirits. Get this, they're cooking all these animals, they're baking all this bread, they're pouring all these things, they're deglazing basically the areas with the wine and sometimes water and juice and stuff like that. They're doing this. It smells like the greatest churrascaria you've ever been to. But they would punctuate it with these strong, pungent aromas and scents. They would burn at the start to signify the opening, the closing of the temple and the tabernacle that's going on there. And for him to do this was a miracle, was amazing. There were so many priests. Give or take 20,000 priests. 24 courses. They said there he was a baya. They served basically 2 8-day periods a year. They would take care of other duties, but this particular thing, they would be on shift basically 16 days out of the year. Not quite, a little more than 2 weeks of the year. Every course had about 830 men. To get to burn the incense, in this essence, is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It was a special occasion. There's nothing compared to what God wanted to do. He's doing this, and then God interrupts. Be faithful. Man, I'd really like God to do this. I wish God would fix this, change this, do these kind of things. Let me encourage you from the life of Zachariah. Be faithful to him. There's a research coming out of Canada suggests that people think that they're faithful to church if they come every 6 weeks. It used to be once a month. That became the new norm now. Now every 6 weeks. He said it's important. He said because folks don't understand if you fuss at them. You fuss at them, man, you're not real faithful to the Lord. And they're like, man, I come every 6 weeks, or I come every quarter, or come all this kind of thing. We've moved the stone so far about faithfulness. and being faithful in our daily walk to God. Number two, you still with me? Number two, remember your service matters to God. Your service matters to God. What you do for God matters. What you do for God matters. It matters. It matters what you put in the box back there. It matters what you give on your phone. It matters what you do here for the Lord. Everybody, our founding pastor just passed away recently, Pastor Fender, he said it like this. Everybody in church needs a job. Excuse me, everybody in church needs a friend. Everybody in church needs a job. You need to do something for King Jesus. You need to do several somethings for King Jesus. And what you do matters. Whether you get called out from the pulpit, your picture gets put in the newsletter, whatever it is, man, your service matters to God. Your service matters to God. You may. Can I tell something on the preacher? Can I do that? I know him a little. I do that. I got like 18 of you asleep. I'll try and do better. And so I'm not being funny. Nobody's asleep. You ever get you're tired of something, you're wore out. Anybody here ever struggle with a bad attitude? Point at people around you who do. And you struggle. And then you start that lecture in your head. Well, nobody knows, nobody cares. You ever done that? You start walking down that pity party pathway. Anybody ever been down the pity party pathway? Anybody got a rut in your pity party pathway? You've walked it so much. You got special shoes you wear. I can always tell when I'm starting to go down that road. I start saying the same mess in my head. You know what fixes it? It matters to God. I get to do this for Jesus. I get to do whatever I'm doing. I get to do this for Him. I get to drive over here for Him. I get to speak over here for Him. Excuse me. I get to unclog a toilet for Him. Whatever the day's occasion calls for, I got to do this for Him. And that fixes a whole lot of the pity party pathway. I can get turned around pretty fast. By the way, when you stay on the pity party pathway too long, you get bitter. And I'm not talking about being taken advantage of. I'm not talking about people who just roll over you, all these kind of things. Andre and I know a guy, he started a church. He looked at his wife, said, "You're in charge of the nursery." She went 5 years and was never in a preaching service. She went 5 years, never in a preacher. Andre asked me, "When we came here, you going to do that to me?" "Nope. We just won't have some things." I mean, you can't be out of service that much. You need to worship just like I need to worship. I have to listen to preaching in the week. I need to have my soul fed too, because I'm giving out. You understand, when you do all these kind of things, man, you understand your service matters to God. Ministry and attendance can become mundane to us. The miraculous can become commonplace. We get to the point where we just go through the motion of life and forget how significant it is to do whatever we do for Jesus, to sing in the choir, to visit the shut-ins, to pray for people like Doris in a minute. We forget sometimes, and we become commonplace, and we become bored with the miraculous. We sang three songs, you may know them, may not know them. Joji led us in worship as we got started today. Sang a newer song. Let me help you. If you got to sing this morning, you got to sing for the audience of one. If you lifted your voice up, whichever one of the songs you knew, if you knew all three of them, you got to sing for the ear of King Jesus. Your service matters to God. You ready this morning, got your app open, you got your Bible open, your tablet open, you borrowed a Bible somewhere, whatever it is, you're taking notes this morning. That matters to God. Matters to God. You get paid every week, you get paid once a month, whatever it is. You take that money, you set that aside, you go, "This I give as worship to God." It matters to God. It matters to God. You want to prepare your heart for the miraculous. This is what He's doing. And God's going to interrupt. He's not even looking for it. He argues with the angel. He's so not looking for it. God is doing in your heart and your life. Our young people, our youth conference a few weeks ago, I think it was a morning message. Noah Taylor was preaching. He reminded me, he said, the best way to know God's will next year is to be doing God's will today. Best way to be in the center of God's will in 2 years, be in the center of God's will today. Your service matters to God. Out of all these folks, He got chosen. He's there. The angel appears. No one else sees Him or hears. And number three, if you want to see this, then number three, then pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. Whatever it is that's going on, pray with persistence. Go back to verse 8 and 9. You still with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. Go to verse 8 and 9 just for a second. came to pass while he executed the priest's office for God in the quarter, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. When he went and he was doing what he was supposed to, they would burn the incense to open or close the day. He would do this, and he would pray, keep doing this. Keep doing this. He kept praying in spite of a lack of an answer. Even though they're beyond their childbearing years, he kept asking, he kept praying. Verse 13, they're talking to God. They're talking to God. Excuse me. They're asking for God to do something. While he is praying, God comes to do them. And he answers in a very personal way. I don't know what it is. It could be a wayward child. It could be a wayward spouse. Andre and I are connected with a couple 7 years apart. I don't know how many years they were divorced. God's not only put them back together, but given them a ministry, given them a ministry of helping other folks who are hurting, and their marriage can come back together. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous thing. It might be a job situation, it might be a home situation. Whatever it is, it's personal to you, it's personal to God, and God desires to answer that personally. Anybody, I need a little survey. Anybody besides me, you answer the mail or you go through the mail close to the trash can? A few. I mean, you're like, that's a great idea. Anybody here? Mail, trash can? All right, everybody under 30. Mail, it's paper. Paper, you answer me. Yeah. Yeah, we get the mail in, walk over. We got one of those silver trash can things with a slow close lid, and see how much of it I can throw away. We recycle the cardboard. We don't recycle the paper, but anyway. And get all this, you know, how much of that can I get rid of before the thing closes? Anybody like me, bored easily and need something to do? So we're here. But if it's got my name on it, or if it's handwritten, I'm probably going to open it, right? Unless it's a bill, then I'll let Andre open it. And I'm there. It's all over. My mom sends me mail. My mom sends Reverend Rodney Holloman. I don't know if she thinks that'll keep people from not opening it at the mailbox. I don't know. I figure she's there. My mom's sisters and my uncle, her brother, for forever, I mean till very recently, would send me mail, Master Rodney Holloman, because they've got the British heritage, and they would send me this really formal thing. And I'm like, man, you heard it, Master. I didn't just know it meant child. I was so puffed up, somebody called me that. And so there, man, you send me that kind of thing. Well, Andrea and I have our own Amazon account. We just figured out that's easier. That's just how lazy I am. And I figured out it's easier for different things, especially this time of the year. Stuff will come in with my name on it, and she goes, it's yours. You got to open it because it might be a gift. I'm like, not a gift. It's a toilet tablet. It's you can open it. You can open it. Sometimes you think, man, we're just praying and God wants to do the generic. God's not interested. God's interested in the personal. If you are still praying, keep praying. If you're praying for somebody to come to Christ, keep praying. Praying for a situation change, keep praying. Understand that the persistence of what he is doing move the heart of God, and God answer in this big way. And then finally, believe God's will is enough. God's word is enough. God's word is enough. Go verse 18, 19 and 20. God's word is enough. God's word's enough. Zechariah said unto him, the angel, whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man, my wife's well stricken. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak to you and show you good tidings. Verse 20, behold, you'll be mute and not able to speak until the day these things be performed, because thou believest not my word. So whether it was 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, or the whole 9 months, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Gabriel says, I stand before God. I brought good news to you, and I'll bring more good news to men. I've come to you. I'm going to talk to Mary. And tell her that she'll be great with child, highly favored. And what's he do? He wants more. He wants more. Isn't this us? God, would you? God, would you? God, would you? God, would you save my kids? God, would you fix my marriage? God, would you give me a better job? God, would you do this? And whatever it is, it's the burden of our heart, and we do this. And God says, here is my word. Do this, be faithful, obey me. And you're like, no, I want more. I want more. We like the spectacle. We like the amazement. Can it do this? Can it do that? We were grabbing something Friday, and they had 80-inch TVs on sale. I'm like, I don't think our wall would hold one. Man, look at that thing. And there was people buying them. Now, then they had to have help getting them, you know. And I'm like, what? I bet they got a Toyota they're going to try and put that into. I just want to camp out in the parking lot and see what they put it in. You know, you need a U-Haul to get that thing home. Get that thing home. And one of our kids said, oh, that's cool, doesn't it? I said, I have no need for that. I have no need for that. Man, I can watch Animaniacs just fine on the TV we got at home. I don't need that thing, you know. And your mother watching Hallmark movies, I don't need it any bigger. My soul, this is terrible. So she watches them on her phone. So anyway, and these kind of things. People are like, man, I got 70 inch, but I want an 80 inch. What? Now all of you with CRTs at home, you know, you just nod. Just nod right now in a tube TV. But we're here. We're foolish. God's given us all these promises, told us how he works, told us what his plan is for all these kind of things. And so what's he do? He's like, you won't believe my word, you're not going to have any words to say for a while. You express doubt at my clear word, fine. You're not going to corrupt anybody else. You just be quiet for a while. He asked for a sign. He did not receive the word of God. You want to get ready for the miraculous? He's given us something better than angels. He's given us something better. He's elevated his word above his name. But what do? We look for feelings. We look for events. We look for emotions. We look for things that are ultimately untrustworthy instead of depending upon the trustworthiness of the word of God. You will not talk anymore until the baby comes. By the way, and he comes, he says, and by the way, his name is going to be John, full of grace. Full of grace. Isn't that us? We bargain with God. We say no. We try and work through. Instead of, man, this is what God has said to us. This is what God said to us. Go to verse 22. Let me wrap up. Verse 22, when he came out, he couldn't speak, and they perceived that he'd seen a vision, for he beckoned them, remained speechless. Came to pass soon as the days of his ministration, remember these eight-day courses, were accomplished. He goes back to his house. After those days, his wife conceived, hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days where he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. It was different to her than it was to him. But he's quiet. He'd been in the presence of God. He didn't believe the angel. He didn't believe what the message of God was. And so now he just got time to think about it. And those are long days when we argue with God. Those are rough seasons. God just being faithful and faithful and faithful. I read this. I've been looking at this for a while now. Isn't it great? I didn't put it in one of my points. You can write it down. God is faithful to us when we are unfaithful back to him. He kept his promise. You ever been nice to somebody and they acted like a jerk and you're like, well, fine. Isn't that a pretty normal response? All of you looking at me like I'm not real spiritual. You ever help somebody out and they're like, well, you know, brought a meal, like, well, you know, this steak's a little underdone. It's better than the steak you didn't have. Put it in the microwave. You ever done something and then got it thrown back at you? Like 19 of you now. Okay, yeah. God says, nope, I'm going to do this. By the way, Zacharias never has to go back to that school again. Never. He's good shape. He's absolutely in good shape. How do I prepare for the miraculous? Be faithful. Be faithful. Live faithfully for God. Remember what you do matters to God. Keep praying with persistence. Number four, believe God's word enough. Believe God's word enough. Don't miss this. It's going to start with you not being faithful. Christmas is a time to remember. Christmas is a time to worship. Christmas is a time to celebrate. But Christmas is a time, you know, this has not been real normal, but this ought to be normal. One of the silliest things a song leader, choir leader, worship leader ever does is try and get people to tell them to participate in praising God. It's just the silliest thing in the world. If 104,000 people can sing Rocky Top without being prompted, then the people of God who've been saved by His grace in worship to His resurrected Son should have no problem praising God, should have no problem exalting and worshiping, should have no problem in our giving and our serving and all those kind of things. Why? Because God's word's enough. God's word is enough, and it's more than enough. Prepare for the miraculous. What are you asking God to do in your life, in others' lives this year? Would you pray with me? Father, we love you this morning and thankful for you. There's so much that's here. So, Father, we've scratched the surface today. I pray that you'd be exalted and delighted. I pray you'd help us. Pray you'd help us to hear and understand and obey the Scripture. Lord, and I pray you'd be with us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives.